You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 12th, 2022. Welcome to News and Commentary. We're having a little technical issue, so glad to be back with you. I remind you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. And that'll take you to our Rumble page, and also reminding you, if you miss any program, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up those podcasts. So the January 6th committee continues to hold its little dog and pony show. And the committee says it has now, according to Congressman Raskin, hundreds of messages, hundreds showing strategic and tactical planning for the January 6th rally. But there's nothing in there anywhere that says Donald Trump was directly involved or even linked to it. Because if there were, that would be the lead of their story. But they're not going to put it in there because it doesn't exist. In the meantime, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland could face impeachment proceedings over his Department of Justice failure to enforce that federal statute, the one that prevents picketing or parading outside the homes of Supreme Court justices. That could happen if the Republicans take the majority in the House in midterm, which they should. If you make sure you get out and vote, don't take it for granted. Don't leave the game early thinking it's all well done, it's all in hand. You make sure you go vote. And, of course, conservative Supreme Court justices have been subjected to numerous demonstrations outside their homes. A group in D.C. using tweets to say, we will post a bounty if you'll tell us where some of these justices are so we can come demonstrate against them. Wouldn't Twitter shut that down? That would be contrary to the rules. But let's not forget, this is to attack conservative justices. And in fact, there's a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on abortion and the legal consequence of the Supreme Court ruling on Dobbs v. Jackson turned into a tense back and forth between Senator Josh Hawley, Republican, Missouri, and a Berkeley law professor. When the senator questioned the Berkeley law professor about who can get pregnant, because she referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy, that's how she identified them. Hawley said, you mean women? Well, the professor said, some women cannot get pregnant. Well, that we understand. And then she said some transgender men and non-binary people can. Hawley said, you're saying I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the only folks who can have pregnancies? We'll get more into that tomorrow. I don't have time for it today. But I'll tell you this, the World Health Organization says it's going to update its gender guidance. That's right. The World Health Organization, which covered up the COVID in the beginning, then lied to us and continued to lie to us, and I wouldn't trust them one bit going forward. But now they are saying we're updating our gender guidance to reflect its belief that gender goes beyond non-binary. The existing gender mainstreaming manual argues there are many genders existing on a spectrum from male to female. And now the WHO says that doesn't go far enough. We need to update it and do even more. Do you get that irony of that? The World Health Organization, which supposedly is based on science, looking at science, has science involved at the heart of what it does, now says, well, you got born with a penis, you may or may not be a male or female. Before we wrap up this hour, you're going to hear from a young woman testifying in California. that she got so confused when she was 11 and 12 years old that she started down the road to traumatic surgery for her. And she has a warning for other kids who might be caught in that trap and their parents. That'll be coming up later. You do not want to miss that. The Chevron CEO says, I do not expect another oil refinery to be built in the U.S. ever again due to our current government regulations. And in case you missed it in the last hour, what they're doing in California to make sure that you wean yourself off of using gasoline and either go to bicycle, walking, or an electric car, they are in many cities banning, in the Bay Area in particular, banning construction of any new gas stations. We don't build gas stations, they can't come. We shut down the oil and gas leases, they can't produce the oil and drill for it. We don't allow any more refineries, that won't happen either. This is just going great, isn't it? Stand by for more.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
94% of Democratic primary voters under 30 want someone else to run in 2024. That's what the future of the party wants. The question is, will they get it? But, you know, 94% of Democratic primary voters under 30. Do under 30 people show up? But go on, Paul. I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like the guy in that old country song, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all."
That's Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN asking Paul Begala, a Democrat political strategist, about the results of that most recent New York Times poll that found, as you heard Don Lemon say, 94% of them want anybody but Joe Biden running again. And Begala's response is, yeah, I like that country song, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." No, it's much bigger and deeper than that, Begala, and you know it. But you want to go ahead and try to sell that story? Good luck with it. So Begala's suggesting everything that's been going wrong during the Biden administration is not his fault. The guy's a good guy. He's in control. He knows what favorite ice cream he has. He knows when it's bedtime and when he needs a nap and when he needs to do this and go that, as long as someone's directing him. You know, I'm going to admit something to you. I'm ashamed I went down that road. As I've told you before, if he is truly suffering, Alzheimer's, dementia, early stages of either. I feel for him, and it's nothing to joke about. But he just should not be leading in the White House. Of course, do you want the person behind him leading? That's the other issue, which we have to deal with, and that's the issue Democrats are having to deal with, because they don't really want her either. They don't. They're trying to figure out who are we going to put up on the stage against Trump. Now, the New York Times survey, when they did all their surveys, talked about how bad Biden was and how no one really wanted him. They said that if it's to be Biden against Trump in 2024, Biden wins. They're trying to make a silver lining by putting lipstick on the pig that is still a pig. And by golly again, let's just go back to this. The guy's just got bad luck.
He's kind of like the guy in an old country song, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." You know, Russia invades Ukraine, inflation spikes, and Supreme Court throws out 50 years of women's right to choose. There's a new coronavirus, BA5 variant, monkeypox. So, I mean, the guy's had pretty rotten string of luck.
Yeah, he has. But it's of his own making. Not all of it, obviously. You can't blame him for monkeypox. I don't think you can. But I'm going to be declarative about that and say you can't blame him for monkeypox. So far. You know, it kind of reminds me of an old story. This man and woman get married. And they're both in their 80s. And he's on his deathbed and calls her in to the room. She said, Bessie, come here. She said, what is it? What is it, Ab? What's wrong? Bessie, you remember the day we got engaged, lightning hit the house and burned down your parents' house? Do you remember that? She said, yeah, I do. Oh, do you remember on our wedding day, a tornado blew up and blew the church away while everyone's inside for the ceremony? Do you remember? Yeah, I remember that too, yeah. Do you remember how somehow or another water got poisoned, all our cattle died? Do you remember when that happened? Yeah, I remember that too, eh? Do you remember, Bessie, when everything seemed to be going just great and then a massive wildfire raced through and destroyed everything we had? Do you remember all that? She said, yes, I do. Why are you asking? Well, because, Bessie, I've decided you're just bad luck. That's what Begala is telling us here. Everything that's happened on Biden's watch, just bad luck. But it goes deeper than that. In fact, that New York Times survey that it came out talking about how bad it was for Biden and the Democrats, their main New York Times political pollster, chief analyst, said the left has a set of priorities that is just different from the rest of the countries. Now, that's a fact. He goes on to say liberals care more about abortion and guns, and he actually means gun control, than the economy. That's also a fact. He goes on to say conservative concerns are much more in line with the rest of the country. Amen, brother. Amen to that. So Kellyanne Conway, who was, of course, an advisor to Donald Trump, said the Democrats are some of Biden's worst enemies right now.
But it's a Democratic Party that's looking under the hood and saying we've got a lemon on our hands. And lastly, they like to say, but Trump, Trump, Trump. Every time Joe Biden says Donald Trump's name now, voters say two things. Number one, they say, man up. You've been the president for a year and a half. You created this bad economy, energy dependence, Putin and Ukraine. Number two, thanks for reminding me about Donald Trump and how great we all had it. If I'm Joe Biden, I don't want to make this a binary choice between Trump's economy and Biden's economy.
No, you don't want to compare this economy to the Trump economy. Now, granted, unemployment is back to where it was pre-COVID. But the economy's not there. We're still on the verge of recession. We may not go into recession. It's possible we won't. Goods are being turned out now. Wages have gone up, even though prices have gone up, so it's helping a little bit. Oil prices are beginning to settle back a bit, partly because Biden is robbing, and I use that word on purpose, robbing our strategic oil reserves to buy extra votes come November. And also, by the same token, dropping the federal gas tax for 90 days. Now, you know, if they don't need it for 90 days, do they need it at all? And when they put it back, it's going to come back online before the election. I'm betting now they're going to extend it. Let's wait and see. But then again, if we can go without it for 90 days, let's go without it for 9 years. Let's see what happens. Of course, that's not going to happen. And, of course, they're encouraging states to do the same. Many states are saying, I don't think so, because it's got to be paid somewhere. We need that money for roads, transportation, other things, as does the federal government. So somebody's going to have to pay for it down the line. Back to this New York Times survey they came out with the other day, and I'm reading a summary as written by a New York Times reporter. All of this leads to a remarkable combination of findings from the poll. Biden looks like the weakest incumbent president in decades. In decades. 61% of Democrats said they'd hoped someone else would be the party's 2024 nominee. 61% say, give us anybody other than Biden. And most either citing Biden's age or performance. Yet when all of them were asked, as I said, to choose between Biden and Trump, Biden still wins over Trump 44% to 41%. How does that happen? Because they're smoking something. That's how that happens. But Begala admits, yeah, the Democrats themselves are undermining Joe Biden.
In the election, Biden's strongest age cohort was 18 to 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
The youngest voters were his strongest at 60%. I just saw a poll recently where he was at 25. That is in part because some of the other leaders of his party are undermining him and undermining him with younger voters. They're attacking him instead of attacking Republicans. And it's an enormous problem. You know, he's got this huge, broad coalition. Some of the people, they're all in the same boat, but some of the people in the boat with him are punching holes in it and then complaining that Biden is getting them wet.
Yeah. They're punching the holes in it. They're not helping him any. There's a poll also that came out the other day, a civics poll that came out over the weekend, and showing just 29% of voters approve of Biden. 29%. 58% disapprove. When it comes to independents, only 19% of independents approve of Biden. And there is your cutting line, independents. And Democrats defecting from that party, moving to the Republican Party. Because I don't care how strong a Democrat you want to be, when it comes to filling up your gas tank and you see that meter keep going tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick, you're thinking, this is not what I wanted. And then when you break it down, reference Hispanics, which is a growing population, mainly because of the open border. Now, they're not allowed to vote yet. But among the Hispanics that were surveyed that can vote, just 36% of them approve of Joe Biden and what he's doing. 36%. Trump got 36% approval from Hispanics in the last election against Biden. 36%. 48% of Hispanics surveyed disapprove of Joe Biden. And then, of course, you got the Democrats after him. You got the Republicans after him. You got independents after him. You got Hispanics, which, by the way, they sent Dr. Jill Biden out to try to make amends and try to be nice to the Latinx, which they don't like being called. And she compared them to tacos. Really? Oh, we'll get to that before we wrap up this hour, because she's stumbling over herself trying to apologize. So it's not just Joe Biden that's blowing himself up. It's everybody in the White House, including his wife, Dr. Jill Biden. We'll get to that a little bit later. And, of course, then you also have the state-controlled media. The state-controlled media is going against it, with the New York Times issuing 6 different stories criticizing Joe Biden. In addition to that survey, that tells you the media is turning. And Charles Hurt, who's with the Washington Examiner, says it's interesting to watch how this is developing.
Joe Biden has served his purpose, and so they don't, and they realize now how toxic he has become, what a problem he is. They're starting to turn on him because they realize that this is not going to carry forward very well. But the one thing, the one mistake about that you just said, we've not been recording his doddering foolishness just since 2019. We've been recording his doddering foolishness for decades.
Okay,
because
good
long
point.
Before he got into the White House, he was a buffoon on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
It's just becoming so much more obvious. And the only difference is now he's so old, a lot of us kind of feel sorry for him.
I don't think so. In fact, he was on with Laura Ingraham, and she laughed and said, "I don't think so. I'm not feeling sorry for him. I'm feeling sorry for the nation." And that I second. I'm feeling sorry for the nation right now. But the New York Times has supported his candidacy in 2020, did not confirm the authenticated laptop from hell from Hunter Biden until a year after Biden got into office. And now the Times has actually become hostile towards Biden, ranging from his lack of response to mass shootings, the Supreme Court recent rulings, articles about Biden's elderly age, a lack of Democrat support. No, even the state-controlled media is saying, "I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't want you." Coming up, should the Supreme Court justices be impeached?
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As chairman of the Judiciary Committee, what do you say to progressives calling for impeaching some of the conservative justices?
I don't think it's realistic. I can tell you there is, in my mind, a clear conflict of interest when it comes to Justice Thomas and issues related to the January 6th insurrection. His wife is actively involved politically, going so far as to give direct advice to the president's chief of staff during this crisis. I would think that Justice Thomas should recuse himself from any decisions that relate to the January 6th episode. Already he was a single vote earlier on a case related to that issue. I think it's a mistake. As to whether he's going to be impeached, that is not realistic, but he should show good judgment. If this court is going to be credible, it has to be as apolitical as possible. Exactly the opposite has been happening.
Those are the words of Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, when questioned by Mike Emanuel of Fox News. What do you think about progressives calling for impeaching some of the conservative justices? The bottom line is, as you heard Durbin say in the beginning, and he kind of repeated it again later, I don't think it's realistic that they would impeach these justices. But on Clarence Thomas, because he is tied via his wife, is what he's suggesting, to January 6th, that he should recuse himself from any involvement in anything involving the January 6th inquiry that continues to this day. Now, Jeannie Thomas, according to Committee Chair Benny Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, said it made the request that Jeannie Thomas appear, but didn't say when the letter had been sent. She apparently was communicating with one of the Trump attorneys, a lawyer, John Eastman, and also with Mark Meadows. And she has said, I look forward to testifying. I can't wait to clear up misconceptions. I look forward to speaking to them. But she hasn't been called yet. Don't know that she will be, because I think they realize, I guess if she's that anxious to talk to us, we probably don't want to hear from her. They're trying to say that she was directing Mark Meadows via text messages on what should be done to prevent the election from being certified. That's the revelation that they've been saying, although, again, I don't know how accurate that is. But Durbin says, for that reason, Justice Clarence Thomas should not be involved. But I don't think, he said, even the conservative justices who voted to overturn the law of the land at the time, Roe v. Wade, should not be impeached. Well, now, what would you say about an attorney general who will not enforce the law? Supreme Court doesn't make law. It interprets the Constitution. It's not meant to be an advocacy. But the attorney general is supposed to enforce the law and be an advocate for law and order. What would you say about impeaching the attorney general, Merrick Garland, who has failed to support a federal statute, a federal law that prohibits protesting and demonstrating outside the home of Supreme Court justices or any federal judge? It's clearly there. They have a right to assembly, peaceful assembly, but not in front of their homes of the justices. They can go do it in front of the Supreme Court. But according to U.S. Code 1507, it's illegal to do anything to influence a judge's ruling or interfere with their discharge of duty. And A.G. Merrick Garland has not done one damn thing except ignore it. Why? Because he can. Same reason the January 6th committee hearing continues and continues and continues. Wait. There are more elephants coming. Wait. We got somebody behind scooping up what the elephants leave behind. Wait. We may start a new circus and parade. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, a traumatic story of a young woman testifying about a bill that's being presented in California that is shocking, shocking, and her testimony is extremely traumatic.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My name is Chloe Cole, and I am a 17-year-old detransitioner from the Central Valley. I was medically transitioned from ages 13 to 16. My parents took me to a therapist who affirmed my male identity, and the therapist did not care about causality or encourage me to learn to be comfortable in my body. He brushed off my parents' concerns about the efficacy of hormones, puberty blockers, and surgeries. My parents were given a threat of suicide as a reason to move me forward in my transition. My endocrinologist, after 2 to 3 appointments, put me on puberty blockers and injectable testosterone. At age 15, I asked to remove my breasts.
I asked them to remove my breast. Her name is Chloe Cole. She said she first started reading about trans activism posts on Instagram when she was just 11. She's 17 now. But at 11, she began to speculate, maybe I'm transgender. And by 12, I decided I must be transgender. And that's when she wanted to start taking puberty blockers and testosterone treatments when she was 14. Her parents were against it, but they were told, as you heard, and we'll come back to that point in a moment, if you don't do this, she could become suicidal. So they had to decide, do we want our child to be alive, be it boy or girl, or unconfused, or have her, him, dead? It's a tough choice for parents, trying to decide what's best for their child, not only then, but for the future. You know, let me take a moment to point out the same thing exists right now, reference giving vaccines to children as young as 5 months old, COVID vaccines, when the death rate among children, and I'm including up to 18 years of age, is, unless they had high morbidity issues, and even then, it's 0.1%. And for that, you're going to give this to a child not knowing how it's going to affect him or her down the road as a young adult when they start a family of their own. Initial studies have said that the vaccines might reduce sperm count by 14 to 20%. Now, these are early studies, but so is the vaccine itself. It's all in early studies. It's experimental at this moment. It's experimental. Given clearance to be used on an emergency basis. And I feel for parents trying to make that decision. Is this right or wrong? I mean, I don't know. Of course, you have to make that decision along with your doctor. And hopefully your doctor's giving you the best information, and they probably don't really know either. And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying because there's so much confusion out there. But if you look at the stats, you'd say, no, there's no reason for a child to have it that young, and especially in the sense that if they're not going to give it for children from the very beginning of life, why are they allowing pregnant women or women who want to get pregnant to have the vaccine? How's that going to affect that child? That child is getting it earlier than 5 months. But in this case, Chloe Cole, about deciding to become transgender, she was speaking out against a California bill, Senate Bill 107. Listen to this. Senate Bill 107 in California would allow kids from other states to travel to California so they can go through transition processes. In other words, California would become a sanctuary state for kids who want to transition even if their parents are against it. Now, again, as you heard her suggest that her parents were faced with, if you don't let her do it, you might have a dead child on your hands. She might resort to suicide. Let's go back to her statements.
My parents were given the threat of suicide as a reason to move me forward in my transition. My endocrinologist, after 2 to 3 appointments, put me on puberty blockers and injectable testosterone. At age 15, I asked to remove my breasts. My therapist continued to affirm my transition. I attended a top surgery class that was filled with around 12 girls that thought they were men. Most were my age or younger. None of us were going to be men. We were fleeing from the uncomfortable feeling of becoming women. I was unknowingly physically cutting off my true self from my body, irreversibly and painfully. Our trans identities were not questioned. I went through with surgery. Despite having therapists and attending the top surgery class, I really didn't understand all the ramifications of any of the medical decisions I was making.
Did not understand. And she talks about she was uncomfortable in her body. One of my listeners sent a message to me the other day on text or email, I can't recall, saying, my daughter just started her period. It's her second time. And she feels uncomfortable in her body. So if you got doctors who are just willing to go ahead, only two or three visits, this doctor made a decision, yeah, let's go ahead with puberty blocker. Two or three visits, you can make that kind of determination. And reference to suicide. The National Library of Medicine, we get conflicting numbers here again. Data indicates 82%, this is from the National Library of Medicine, 82% of transgender individuals have considered killing themselves. 40% have attempted suicide. Suicide's highest among transgender youth. So that's what's shoved in the parents' face. Look at these numbers. Look at these numbers. Well, at the same time, I've got other numbers here. That was from the National Library of Medicine. I'm looking at studies that came out of the UK, a couple of different studies, and basically they found out there is no doubt that people, young children suffering gender dysphoria, are vulnerable. And when it comes to risk of suicide, certainly terrifying for the parents. But in analysis of detail and looking at it in detail, there were fundamental weaknesses which seriously undermine the claim that suicide is a major risk. So the parents are being lied to, given false information, so the child can be transformed radically. And again, back to Chloe Cole, who at age 11 began to read about transgenderism, and now at 17 is trying to go back to being what she was in the beginning, genetically a woman, but she has concerns.
I wasn't capable of understanding, and it was downplayed consistently. My parents, on the other hand, were pressured to continue my so-called gender journey with a suicide threat. I will never be able to breastfeed a child. I have blood clots in my urine. I am unable to fully empty my bladder. I do not yet know if I am capable of carrying a child to full term. In fact, even the doctors who put me on puberty blockers and testosterone do not know. SB 107 is circumventing state's laws that have needed safeguards in place so my story is not repeated. Children cannot consent.
Children cannot consent. But California, under Senate Bill 107, would make California a sanctuary state that if a child can get there and they want to be transition from one gender to another, the state will allow it, facilitate it. She's also testified in Florida against using Medicaid money to pay for teenagers who want to transition. And, of course, you got the leftists absolutely going ballistic over this. This is where we are in this world right now, that we have convinced children that just because you don't fit in, something must be wrong with you, rather than supporting them and saying, everybody goes through it, we'll help you through it. We say, oh, you want to change sex? Okay. And you got parents who say, well, we're not going to call if we have a boy or girl yet, we'll give let the child be 16, let them decide. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. And I'll fight against it every day I'm on the air. Every day that we need to bring it up and put it in somebody's face to fight against this kind of nonsense. Stand by for Dr. Jill Biden and her remarks coming up here shortly about some things she said that she wishes she hadn't. She went out there trying to pick up extra votes for Joe, especially among Hispanics. Now, Dr. Jill Biden, I'm giving her that title. She's entitled to it. It's not just a meritorious title. So I'm going to use the title as it is. But it also goes to prove that a doctorate does not necessarily mean you're that smart. And not having one doesn't mean you aren't smart. When we come back, you'll hear what she said. And for some of the audience, they're going to immediately say, what the? Stand by, please.
rebroadcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
That didn't really go over very well. That was Dr. Jill Biden. She does have the title doctor. She is not a physician. She has a doctorate in education. Didn't show it very much at that point. First of all, mispronouncing bodega in the Bronx area. What'd she call it, Bogota or something, instead of bodegas. And then, as she was addressing in San Antonio the annual conference of Unidos U.S., a Latino civil rights and advocacy group formerly known as the National Council of La Raza, she said, "You, I will help because you're as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio." No. The National Association of Hispanic Journalists and others registered their offense immediately, tweeting out, "We are not tacos." Association said the first lady and her speechwriter should, quote, take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and our communities. Now, keep in mind, when Biden ran against Trump, 60%+ of Latinos were for Biden. The number has dramatically turned now. 31%, maybe 35% for Biden now. So she's down there trying to make friends with the breakfast tacos. Didn't go over very well. Her publicist or whoever the title might be, the First Lady's press secretary, put out a tweet basically saying that the First Lady apologizes for that remark, understandably. The press secretary, Michael LaRosa, which suggests to me that he would have known better, tweeted out the apology. And in response to that, Ted Cruz, his communications advisor, said, "Michael, I'm sorry you had to tweet this out today." And also had to apologize over using the word Latino instead of Latinx, because progressives continue to push the term Latinx. Mara Flores, the Republican Latino woman along the border of Texas who flipped that blue county, won handily by Biden, flipped it red now, said no one wants to be called Latinx. But the progressives continue to insist, no, that's what you are. They're going to tell you that's what you are. Apparently, a new survey shows that just 1.7% of the U.S. Hispanic population uses Latinx. 60% describe themselves as Hispanic, 30% as Latino. just so you know. So she was trying to make points for Joe Biden and failed miserably. And here's another failure. At the University of Denver's College of Education, the department chair, a black man, wrote an article calling on educators to, quote, commit to realizing the death of whiteness. It was titled Dead Honky, focusing on a 1975 skit from a Saturday Night Live in which a white character used a racial slur in conversation with a black man. But the article says that whiteness itself is a violence, that in its emptiness, white refers to no ethnic group, defines itself only in reference to what it is not. It is not black, disabled, poor, trans, non-Christian. This is the department head at the University of Denver. What's to be gained by that kind of report, paper? Is there anything in there that brings us closer to each other? No. It's just more divisiveness. And I've told you before with this program, a lot of folks say, well, Larry, we know you're extremely conservative. I said, I am for the most part. I also have some independent views. I have some liberal views. And I have stated repeatedly, and I think it bears repeating again here, I don't care what your political stripe is, your religion, your color, your ethnicity, even your sexual preference. I care if you're patriotic for this country. That's my first concern. That's the first mission of this program. Find ways we can come closer together and honor our country that we've been blessed to be born in. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.